May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you today about our spiritual lives, especially as it relates to our ability to be compassionate Christians and Episcopalians. I want to begin using an image that Sister Ellen Stephen shared at a conference on spirituality that I attended at Canuga Episcopal Conference Center. Sister commented on the difference between the ways most men and women visualize or imagine the Christian spiritual life. She said that men see the spiritual life as linear movement, as a journey from point A to point B, if you will. That is certainly my experience, true for me, from both the language I use to describe the spiritual life as well as my actions. I remember during the periods of silence during that conference, I went on several hikes, always searching for God by journeying. Women, Sister Ellen Stevens said, see the Christian spiritual life as more as a dialogue with God, as revelations of Christ, even as an interior castle where one goes from room to room searching. She concluded, however, that both Christian men and Christian women are vessels that have capacity, the capacity to be Christ-like. The healing stories of Mark come before us in these last weeks of Epiphany. Perhaps not by chance, but rather as an opportunity to examine our relatedness to being healers, bearers of compassion. Today's Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus leaving the synagogue in Capernaum, and he goes to the house of Simon and Andrew, and he has with him as well James and John. And we hear that Simon's mother-in-law is quite sick in bed with fever, and they tell Jesus about her at once. And he goes and he takes her by the hand, and we hear the language that he lifted her up, and the fever left her, and life in that house then continued in a new and healed way. Jesus taught by his words, but more importantly, by his actions. Be compassionate as God is compassionate. This is a constant theme that Christ brings to the forefront of his teachings. And we can once again see that the radical nature of Jesus' teachings and actions were often done in the presence of the disciples, the first followers of what became known as the Way, the followers of Jesus Christ, so that they too could imitate Christ's nature. Imitatio Deo, to be an imitator of God, so that to follow Christ, to live in the kingdom of God, was to be a person who imitated the compassion of God. The word compassion was incredibly rich in Jewish culture. In both Hebrew and Aramaic, the word actually translated as compassion is the plural of the noun that in its singular form means womb. Compassion in the Bible is often linked to the womb. we hear such sentences from Scripture as, a woman feels compassion for her child of her own womb. A man feels compassion for a brother who came from the same womb. So as a feeling, compassion is located in a certain part of the Bible, excuse me, the body, in the gut, deep within our very being. That's how those first century Jews would have heard that. And then we know that passion comes from the Latin word that means to feel or literally suffer with. And so when you add calm with it, calm passion to feel with. Something from deep within to feel with, to experience with, to suffer with. With both his acts and instruction, Jesus was reiterating this strong teaching that the God of the Hebrew Scriptures, the God that these people had experienced, is so compassionate that God is, if you will, womb-like. God nurtures, God gives life, God cares. God is the ultimate expression of compassion. And what is radically new for all to grasp as they witness this, and continues to be radically new for us today, is that Jesus was challenging his hearers by his words and by his actions to imitate God's compassion. Imitatio Deo, be imitators of God as God is compassionate. Jesus challenges us then to reflect upon the place of compassion in our lives. Are we a compassionate church? Are you a compassionate person? Are you one who feels suffering with another, perhaps one with whom you have no relatedness at all? The compassion of the God of the Holy Scripture is clearly indiscriminate. So what about ours? Today's world finds many places that call for compassionate attention. Certainly we can not respond to everyone or every situation. However, we can respond to some with compassion. Mother Teresa once said, if you can't feed 100 persons, then feed just one. Jesus was calling those who would come to follow him and call themselves Christians to live a life that has intentional and focused compassion. We sometimes mix that word in with love. We know from the camp song we used to sing, and they will know we are Christians by our love. I think a more powerful way to say that is they will know we are Christians by our compassion. How do we want to be known at St. John's? That is certainly a question that has played on my mind these many months now that I have been with you. We are now at a place, a new chapter in the life and history of St. John's, where we must become both intentional and focused upon our compassion, our love, our outreach in the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe this compassion needs to be twofold, toward local need and poverty, and to third world need, hunger, poverty which is beyond extreme. The two are very different, and we should not be limited to thinking we can only address local or we can only address third world. It's not an either or. We can do both. I, along with the elected leadership of St. John's, will be discerning where God may be calling us anew, as well as what work we presently do that God is calling us to strengthen. Did you know that just this past Monday, our church served to 147 adults and children in need in this community a meal? So as we now seek to define the compassion of this body of Christ at St. John's, let us draw strength and purpose, as I close with some of my favorite words from Scripture that are found in Isaiah that we heard beautifully read this morning. Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen.